All right, the present, that is our current present. Well, there's the greater good defense. And he says that Scripture's new historical perspective enables us to look at our own present experience in a new way. In short, God is even now using evil for his own good purposes. That is sometimes called the greater good defense. And all the classical defenses that were covered in chapter 7, it is the only one with scriptural support. It does, however, require some clarification. As Jay Adams Doug Ederson has pointed out, Scripture deals with the problem of evil, and it's typically theocentric as opposed to anthropocentric. So it's God-centered rather than man-centered, which we don't like that. We want explanations. We want to be Job-centered. We want to say, why did this happen, O Lord? Well, no, right. Unfortunately, the author is writing the story about himself, and his relationship with other people is in there. And so this the Bible is an autobiography of who God is. So many traditional treatments of the problem assumes that God's ultimate purpose is to provide happiness for man. And of course, that's not so. God's ultimate purpose is to glorify himself. And indeed, man's own chief end is to glorify God and what? Enjoy him forever. Suffering is for a while. Glory is for eternity.
Yeah, exactly, right? So notice, this is God's perspective. This is the Scripture's biblical response to suffering, right? And it gives us God's perspective. And part of what God is, the majority, most of what God, all really of what God is trying to accomplish is to reveal himself, his own glory. And so Frank tells us it's possible to learn from Scripture some of the ways in which God is using evil to bring about greater good. So again, this greater good defense is the one that he says most closely aligns with Scripture and what Scripture says. And it's a focus on God and not on man. Right? And so he says we must be cautious, though, here. Scripture doesn't give us exhaustive explanations of all evils, as we've seen. It often calls us to be quiet and accept in faith what providence brings our way. But it does show how God has used some evils to advance his purposes, right? And so this is the greater good defense, right? He allows evil to advance his purposes, to bring about greater good. That's what Frame is suggesting is at least part of the biblical response to the problem of evil. Mm-hmm.
And in our discussion with Scott Christensen on his last book, What About Evil, we asked him internal, how would you help someone who's in the midst of suffering? What would you tell them? So I'll link that video below or make sure to include it somewhere around here. So that way it will help bolster kind of this answer as well. All right, so what are those purposes? Those purposes include displaying God's grace and justice. And there's a whole slew of biblical answers that Frame provides here, including Romans 3, 5, and 8. There's 9 again. Also, purpose is the judgment of evil. And not just now, but also in the future, takes into to account this purpose. Also, there's redemption. Christ's suffering of redemption is a redemptive in an obvious way, 1 Peter 3:18. And the shock value to unbelievers intended to gain their attention and to promote a change of heart, Zechariah 13 and Luke 13 and John 9. Fatherly discipline of believers, Hebrews 12. This is the pruning aspect that God uses this evil as a way to kind of knock some sense into us and says, you know, you're going off on the wrong path. I'm going to let you follow this, but guess what? There are going to be repercussions. Oh God, how can you allow me to suffer in this? Well, maybe don't do the thing that I told you not to do that you read about in Sunday school for the past three weeks. And then you went and did. No one is more shocked than me that there are repercussions to these things. There's also a vindication of God. And an example of this is in Romans 3:26. So all these different purposes are to to build up this greater good theodicy that he says accounts for many good answers to the problem of evil.
Exactly. In fact, he says that we see evil used for good again and again in Scripture. And it's used for good. Think of Joseph, right? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. So can we not accept, he says, in faith that these evils, right, that the evils that we've seen have been resolved, and therefore the ones that are unexplained also have a purpose in the depths of God's mind, right? He says, again, we do not have a complete theoretical answer to the problem of evil, but what we do have is a strong encouragement to trust God even amidst the unexplained suffering. So God is telling us here that, hey, he's using this for good. And so, yes, he hasn't given us the answer that we want for our particular issue, right? But we can see all of these illustrations of how God has used this for good and the answer that he's given here. And so we should trust him for our particular suffering. He says, indeed, the encouragement is so strong, he believes that one would be foolish not to accept, what God is telling us.
Right. This is like a M. Night Shyamalan movie. Listen, he's fooled me with the twist ending for the past three movies. It would be foolish for me not to accept the fact that, guess what, the next one is also going to have a twist ending, and so I'm going to be on the lookout for it. Well, guess what? God does those things again, and so we should be on the lookout for those things, but we sometimes have to get through the two-hour movie in order to get to the ending.